Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4, Vidura approaches Maitreya, text number 29. Sri Shukuru Vacha.
Sri Shukuru Vacha.
Brahma Sapa Padeshena.
Brahma Sapa Padeshena.
Kalane, sorry, Kalina Amoga Vanchitaha.
Kalina Amoga Vanchitaha.
Samritya Svakulam Spitam. Jakshan Deham Achintayat. Sri Shukuru Vacha. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Brahma Shapa, cursing by the Brahmanas. Apadesena. On the plea. By such a show, Kalena, by the eternal time, Amoga, unfailing, Vanchitaha, one who so desires, Samhritya, closing, Svakulam, own family, Spitam. Excessively numerous. Tyakshan. After giving up. Deham. The universal form. Achintayat. Thought to himself. Sukadeva Goswami replied, my dear king, the cursing of the Brahmanas was only a plea. But the actual fact was the supreme desire of the Lord. He wanted to disappear from the face of the earth after dispatching his excessively numerous family members. He thought to himself as follows. Purport. In this verse, the word chakshan is very significant in relation to Lord Sri Krishna's leaving his body. Since he is the eternal form of existence, knowledge and bliss, his body and his self are identical. Therefore, how is it possible that he would leave his body and then disappear from the vision of the world? There is a great controversy amongst the non-devotees or Mayavadis about the mysterious disappearance of the Lord, and the doubts of those men with a poor fund of knowledge have been very elaborately cleared by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krishna Sandharva. According to Brahma Samhita, the Lord has many forms. And when he appears within the vision of the living entities, as Lord Krishna actually appeared, all such forms amalgamate with him. Besides all these infallible forms, he has his universal form as manifested before Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Here, in this verse, the word Spitam is also used, which indicates that he left his gigantic universal form called the Virat Rupa, not his primeval eternal form, because there is hardly any possibility of his changing his form of Satchit Ananda. This simple understanding is at once realized by the devotees of the Lord. But those who are non-devotees, who perform hardly any devotional service to the Lord, either do not understand this simple fact or purposely raise a controversy to defeat the eternity of the transcendental body of the Lord. This is due to the defect called the cheating propensity of the imperfect living entities. By practical experience also, it is seen up to the present day that the Lord's transcendental form is worshipped by devotees in different temples. And all the devotees of the Lord factually realize that the form of the deity in the temple is non-different from the form of the Lord. This inconceivable performance of the internal potency of the Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 25. Naham prakashaha sarvasya yogamaya samavritaha. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. In the Padma Purana it is said, Atha Sri Krishna namadi na bhaved grahyam indrihai. The name and form of the Lord cannot be perceived by the material senses. But when he appears within the vision of the mundane people, he assumes the form of the Virat Rupa. This is an additional material exhibition of form and is supported by the logic of a subject and its adjectives. In grammar, when an adjective is taken away from the subject it modifies does not change. Similarly, when the Lord quits his Virat Rupa, his eternal form does not change, although there is no material difference between himself and any one of his innumerable forms. In the fifth canto, it will be seen how the Lord is worshipped in different planets in his different forms, even now, and how he is worshipped in different temples of this earth also. Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have very elaborately explained this incident of the Lord's disappearance in their commentaries, quoting various authentic versions of Vedic literatures. We purposely do not include them all here to avoid an increase in the volume of this book. The entire matter is explained in Bhagavad Gita as quoted above. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. He always keeps himself out of the vision of the non-devotees who are devoid of love and devotion, and thus he puts them still further away from the Lord. The Lord appeared on the invitation of Brahma, who prayed before the Chiradakshaya Vishnu, and therefore when the Lord appeared, all the forms of Vishnu amalgamated with him, and when the mission was fulfilled, all of them disintegrated from him in the usual course. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakada Mahayam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gavim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Panchakapatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sedvaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. also controversy. There's a great controversy. Prabhupada explains that Krishna appears and disappears like the rising and the setting of the sun. Sometimes his pastimes are manifest and observable, and sometimes they're aprakat, as Maharaj explained yesterday. Prakat and aprakat, lila of the Lord. Sometimes manifest, sometimes not. He is not born as a result of past karma like us. We're born to work out our past deeds, good and deeds and misdeeds, good and bad. And so we're forced to take birth as a consequence of the laws of material nature and karma. Just like I went for a walk last night and in Kerford Road down here, on the other side of Richardson Street, there was a sign outside this person's house, and it said, "To the person who stole my 8 whatever they were, plants that she just planted, all I can say to you is this: karma." And when I got home, I was thinking, what that person doesn't understand is that those plants were stolen because of her karma. You got your karma. And you know, the intricacies of karma are very difficult to understand, Krishna mentions. I hope none of the devotees stole her plants. We've got better things to do than steal people's plants, I think. So anyway, don't steal people's flowers. It's not good karma. So yeah, you know, we're bound by the laws of karma. You know, we steal this lifetime, we get stolen from the next lifetime. But, you know, it keeps us coming back. But Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that his appearance is not as a result of the influence of karma. It may appear similar, but his pastimes are divyam. They're transcendental. They're not influenced by the laws of material nature or material energy. They occur under the auspices, under the protection, under the shelter of the yoga maya, or the internal spiritual potency of the Lord. And so they're more like a display of the Lord's spiritual energy. It's not a reaction of the material energy that he appears and disappears. And for those who have, as Prabhupada's pointing out here, those who have material vision, or those who are not able to see the pastimes of the Lord taking place under the influence of the spiritual entity, is very difficult for them to understand what's actually happening. It's a mystery, because it appears. It appears as if he is born, and it appears as if he dies, you know, to the vision of the ordinary man, or the ordinary person. And so therefore, the birth and the disappearance of the Lord confuse those who are materially focused, or materially their vision is of the workings of the material energy. You know, they're not able to see the spiritual, the hand of Krishna. And they, just like they can't see the spirit soul. Despite all of the most advanced apparatus for measuring everything, you know, even, you know, measuring the size of the atoms and so forth, they're still not able to appreciate the presence of the soul. So many sophisticated instruments for analysis and measurement, and yet not able to perceive and understand that without the presence of the soul, nothing works. Prabhupada explains this also in relationship to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Chiradakshaya Vishnu, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. The material creations come from the expansion of the Lord's energy overseen by the Purusha avatars. And without the Lord's presence within the creation, then nothing would work. Just as the spirit soul is required for the body to function, yet the materialistic people can't see the presence of the soul. So similarly also, the material creation wouldn't work unless it were, unless it weren't for the presence of Chiradakshaya Vishnu, the super soul. And the Lord's presence in the form of the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, from which all of the planetary systems are manifest. The materialistic minded people can't see these, or can't understand or fathom how these personalities exist and work in the creation. But as Prabhupada mentions here in the Brahma Samhita, the Lord has many forms. As a super soul within the hearts of all the living entities. As the personification of that personality in Shweta Dweep, in the material creation, the Lord resides as Chiradakshaya Vishnu. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Karanadakshaya Vishnu, the Mahavishnu from whom all of the universes are expanding. So Prabhupada makes the point here. He has unlimited forms. There are all of the different incarnations that appear, and it's explained in the beginning of the Bhagavatam that they're like, the number of incarnations are like the waves of the ocean. So you can't count them, practically speaking. Ananta, one of Krishna's names, is Ananta, which means without any end. Unlimited manifestations. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we get a list of 25 incarnations of the Lord, right? Something like. But that's just a small number. Actually, you know, my next door neighbour, or one of our next door neighbours, was asking me the other day. She says, "How many birthdays does Krishna have?" So, because every time there's the car parking, it gets crowded around here. Then my friends tell me, "Oh, it's Krishna's birthday." She said, "I wish I could have as many birthdays." I said, "Oh, you have to join him then. You can give it a try." Huh? So, you know, So many appearance days, so many pastimes. How is it possible for one person to do all of these things? But he's ananta and achincha. Inconceivable how he can do all of these things. Yet for various purposes, pastimes, he'll appear in order to favour the devotees, basically. Destroy the demons, favour the devotees. So he's been requested to come by Lord Brahma and the demigods. They went to the shore of the milk ocean, and they communicated with Lord Vishnu, Chiradakshaya Vishnu, through prayer, basically, through meditation, and they appealed on behalf of Bhumi to the Lord to please come and protect the devotees. And so the Lord reciprocated, and he told Brahma and the other demigods, he marshalled his eternal, the Nityasiddha devotees from the spiritual realm also to come and participate in his pastimes. It was very difficult for people to understand. They can't. Just like, as Prabhupada mentions here, very difficult for people to understand that the form of the Lord in the Archa Vigraha is actually the same person. Huh? Very difficult for them to appreciate. They just think, oh, metal, stone, wood. Just looking at it from the material perspective, from the external perspective, without understanding the internal potency of the deities. When we see the deities, then we feel a reciprocation with them. And that's been demonstrated by, you know, the pastimes of Shakshi Gopal, of Madhavendra Puri. There are numerous examples given of how the Lord reciprocates with his devotees, even in apparently material form. Apparently. But his unlimited form's not material, they're spiritual. And we can, you know, we get reciprocation. We can offer our service and feel a reciprocation by associating with and serving the Lord in the Archa Vigraha form. So Prabhupada says, it's like the authorized post box. If you want your mail to go to the right destination, you don't stick the letter in any old box that you find on the street. Has to be authorized. Has to have, you know, that red circle with the P in it. So similarly also, the deity form is a special incarnation of the Lord through which Krishna receives and reciprocates with his devotees through the service that they perform. And we from those stories we know that Shakti Gopal reciprocated with the young brahmana, who was promised by the elderly brahmana that he would, since the young brahmana was very pious and very dutiful, and he felt it his duty to serve the elder brahmana in their pilgrimage. So and he wasn't doing it for any material motivation. He's rendering service because it was his duty. The duty is the basis of love and affection. We do things initially out of duty, but in due course of time we develop affection. We may not appreciate that Krishna is present in the form of the deity, but we serve the deity out of duty. And then as we are purified and make progress, we're then able to perceive the personal presence of the Lord in the Murti form. So the young Brahmana rendered service to the elder, and as a show of his affection for the young Brahmana, the older Brahmana promised him his daughter in daughter's hand in marriage. But the younger Brahmana was very astute, and he said to the older Brahmana, don't make this promise. Don't promise this, because, you know, nobody's going to believe it. Because the elderly Brahmana was wealthy and influential, and the younger Brahmana was poor. And he knew that the family members of the elder Brahmana wouldn't accept this proposition, this proposal, that the elderly Brahmana give his younger daughter in marriage to the younger Brahmana. So the younger Brahmana was concerned about maintaining the religious principles of the elderly Brahmana, because if you make a promise, you should be able to fulfill it. But he knew it would be very difficult for him to fulfill it. So he said, then, you better make this promise before the deity in order for it to be recognized. Thinking, you know, he's thinking ahead into the future. So, of course, when they got home, then the members of the family of the elderly Brahmana did exactly what the younger Brahmana expected. And when he went to remind the elderly Brahmana of his promise, then they chastised him and made up some stories and pushed him away. You took advantage of our father. He was not well. You gave him datura. And, you know, in some hallucination, he promised something. This can't be taken seriously. Right? But the younger Brahmana was persistent. And as a result of the commotion in the village, then the village members came around and said, what's the problem? So the younger Brahmana told him, here's the problem. And there again, the family, you know, denigrated the young man. So the young man came, the young Brahmana came up with the idea. Okay, we have a witness, because, you know, there needs to be a witness. So the young Brahmana said, "Yes, there's a witness." I said, "Who's the witness?" And he said, "Gopal." And of course, they scoffed. Ha 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 ha! The deity. Very good. Okay, let him be the witness. I thought, okay, no problem. The deity's not going to speak. He's not going to come here. Deal done. But the young Brahmana went to the walk all the way back to Vrindavan. And then went to see Gopal and told him the problem. And asked him, "My dear Lord, please come as a witness in order to preserve the religious principles of the elderly Brahmana." And Gopal said to the deity, spoke to him, and he said, "I'm a deity. How can I come to your village?" And the young Brahmana said, "Well, you're talking to me. Now, so you should be able, if you can talk, then you can walk. Right? If you can talk, you can walk. So, he was able to convince Gopal to come to his village as the witness. The young Brahmin had such faith. So when he said, if you can talk, then you should be able to walk, then Gopal said, well, you have a point there. Okay, I will follow you, but you mustn't turn around. If you turn around, I won't follow anymore. So they went back to the village. Sachi Gopal's appearance in the village of the two brahmanas was proof to the elderly brahmana's family that the promise had actually been made by their father and that they should honour that promise made before the deity in Vrindavan. So very, you know, it's sacred. And then there's a story of Madhavendra Puri. You know, same Sakshi Gopal, isn't it? Madhavendra Puri. So. Yeah, Chirachara Gopinath. He stole the sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri. So we see that, you know, okay, in most circumstances the deities don't move. But in special situations, and actually in all of our service and activities on behalf of the Lord, we feel the reciprocation. We may not see them move, but each devotee that renders service to the deity feels reciprocation from the Lord. So the Lord's able to perform wondrous pastimes. He's able to accept our service through the form of the deity. So he's able to do anything. Even though he appears in multifarious forms. That's his nature of ananta, unlimited. So even though he's one, he's also able to manifest as the many. Right? And you know, devotees are able to realize this feature or characteristic. It's handy, you know, we can be in Melbourne and render service to Krishna, then we can go to Mwilumba and we're still rendering service to Krishna, although he appears there in a different, apparently different form. But it's actually Beda Abeda. It's the same but different. Right? It's still Satchit, it's still his Satchit Ananda form, and he manifests that form all over. So these ideas or these conceptions are not easily accepted or understood by somebody who doesn't render service. One needs to render service to be able to perceive the transcendental nature of the Lord's form and his pastimes, of the transcendental nature of devotional service, not appreciable. So when the Lord performs his pastimes of disappearance, where it appears he's shot and then dies as a result of being shot by the hunter, that's bewildering for the materialist, because it appears that the Lord Or he behaves just like an ordinary person. Prabhupada quotes here, Naham prakasha savasya yoga maya samavritaha. He reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. So when Krishna appears, he appears in his original form, Anadiya Adiya Govinda. He is the the beginning, who himself is without a beginning. Anadi means without a beginning. Adir, he is the beginning. Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam, he's the cause of everything. The cause of all causes. So he's the beginning of everything. And when he appears, Prabhupada mentions here, when he appears as Krishna, then all of the other avatars appear along with him. So within Krishna, all of the different forms of the Lord and their characteristics and features are all present within that Swayam Bhagavan, the original Bhagavan. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. So, Prabhupada mentions here, when he appears within the vision of the mundane people, he assumes the form of the Virat Rupa. So, which is the form that the materialists see perceive of the Lord? It's the form that we see around us, this external form. And when he leaves, that's the form that he leaves behind. This Virat Rupa, which is also bewildering. Right? It's very hard to see the workings of the Lord within the workings of the material energy. Right? We experience the effect of the material energy, but we can't see the person behind it. Just as we see the working of the material body, but we don't see the spirit soul, which makes it all tick. Without the spirit soul, the material body is just like a rock. Senseless. No feelings. No consciousness as such. So similarly also, the material energy works, but very difficult to see the presence of the Lord in the Virat Rupa. You know, we feel the effects, and then we wonder, what's going on? What's happening? What's the cause of it? But without a spiritual vision, It's impossible to see the workings of the Lord within the workings of material energy. So rather than seeing the hand of the Lord within everything, then we just see the forms that are created by the material energy, and we identify with them, and we blame them. You know, it was the weather, it was somebody else, or even, you know, it's our body causing the suffering. So Prabhupada mentions here that Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have elaborately explained the incident of the Lord's disappearance in their commentaries on the versions that are presented in the Vedic literature. But it's interesting, the quote here Prabhupada says, "We purposely do not include them all here to avoid an increase in the volume of this book." Bhagavatam's already a significant effort. But we can read Jiva Goswami's and Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's explanations of the Lord's disappearance and how the Lord performs these pastimes in order to cover his eternal person, his eternal personality. That can only be understood by devotees who perform devotional service. Because it's by that purification of devotional service that one's able to actually perceive Krishna's presence within the form of the deity, within the form of the Virat Rupa, the person behind the moving, the comings and goings of the material energy. He reserves the right to reveal himself to those who are qualified to perceive him. Otherwise, for the materialistic persons, they're not able to see beyond the external. They're not actually able to see the workings of the internal energy. And so therefore they're not able to see the presence of God within the workings of the creation. And they're not able to then understand the Lord's appearance and disappearance as divyam, transcendental. They just see it as some mundane activity. And so therefore they measure the Lord's activities in terms of their own experience. And so they just then label him as a man. Right? This is Prabhupada says, this is a qualification of a demon. A demon sees God as a man and man as God. Right? So they say, Krishna's not God, but then we're all God. Right? Or they create somebody else, somebody who does some tricks or, you know, can produce some dust or whatever. Oh, he's God. But he's just a man. So they're bewildered. It's only by the performance of devotional service that we can perceive these spiritual activities and spiritual action and be purified by that. So the devotees are able to see when Krishna appears, then all of the different forms of Vishnu are present with him. And then when he leaves, they're all disintegrated from him, go back to their original forms. So we hear it from the Shastra and we experience it as a consequence of the performance of our devotional service. Maharaj mentioned this yesterday. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. Tadami buddhi jogam tam jena mam upayanta ite. He destroys the ignorance of the devotees. He gives them knowledge and realization, intelligence, so that they can know how to come back to him. And they're able to perceive these spiritual aspects that are manifest, you know, in the external form through the external energy, but actually under the influence of the spiritual potency. These things can be perceived by the devotees, but not by others. I'll finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Get up early in the morning, go to Mangalarti, chant Hare Krishna, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class, attend the kirtan, take prasadam, read Prabhupada's books. That's our process for remembering Krishna. And preach. Distribute prasadam, go on Harinam, distribute books, clean the temple, all of the different things that we do. All of the different things that we do are meant to remind us of Krishna. The material energy is very strong, though it'll try to influence us in such a way so that we forget Krishna. You know, the devotees are performing devotional service and sometimes they get bewildered. Oh, I'm not making any advancement. I'm not really actually making any progress. This activity is not really spiritual. What? Maya's very tricky. Ah, you're not much of a devotee. You're not really doing anything. You're not making any progress. What? In the association of the devotees, it all appears like we're, you know, standing still. And we're not making any advancement. Just like if you're in an aeroplane and you're flying 24,000 feet up in the sky and you look around and all of the passengers on the plane, their relationship to each other, they're all static. Right? We're all stuck in our seats and we can't go anywhere. But, you know, if you were to jump out of the aeroplane and you'd have a quick awareness of actually travelling very fast. So, you know, outside of the association of the devotees, we realise, well, actually, I am making progress. We are making progress. Albeit in relationship to each other because we're all moving at practically the same rate, it appears like we're not moving at all. But relative to everything else, we're actually moving very, very quickly in the process of devotional service. And we have to learn to appreciate, just like, you know, an unripe mango is, a green mango is without the qualities of a ripened mango. Ripened mango is very sweet and juicy. And, you know, if you eat a green mango, it's very sour. Right? But it's still a mango. And the potency or the potentiality of the ripened mango is contained within the green mango. But there just has to be some time pass before the green mango becomes a ripened mango. And even in a green mango, you can still get taste, right? You can still make things out of green mangoes.
Green mango chutney.
That's right. Green mango chutney, right? So it also is relishable even in the immature state. So we can still get, you know, we get benefit from the performance of devotional service even if we don't have a complete appreciation of its potency, of its power. Because, you know, we get up in the morning, we go to Mangaladi, we chant our rounds, we greet the deities, we go to Bhagavatam class, and we do all of these things, but sometimes throughout the day, we're not able to perceive that we're serving Krishna. And we think, you know, what am I doing this for? You know, I'm not really getting any benefit. But that's Maya's, you know, Maya has two potencies. There's the Avaranatmika and the, the pulling down potency. There's the covering potency and the pulling. The pulling down potency is just for the devotees. Everybody else is covered, so she doesn't have to. She doesn't have to worry about pulling them down. They're already down. But for the devotees, there's the pulling down potency, because they're trying to. The devotees are trying to get out of the clutches of Maya. So sometimes, you know, that pulling down potency has some effect, which is why we have to keep chanting and keep. You know, we wake up and we awaken our Krishna consciousness, but then we go to sleep at night and you know, we go back into the mode of ignorance. We think we're the body. Or we think, you know, we're somebody in dreamland while we're asleep. So, you know, we have the changing bodies exhibit even when we're awake and asleep. In the daytime, we think we're part of this daydream, but then at night, we go to sleep and we become part of the dream in our sleep until we wake up and then we realize, oh, I was dreaming, right? So, material energy is very strong, and so we need to consistently remind ourselves. That's what the sadhana practice is for. And as we do that, then we'll gradually, you know, eventually we'll be dreaming about the devotees and devotional service. Right? And all of our waking will be service, and even our sleeping is service. Right? Sleeping is devotional service, would you believe? Try performing devotional service with no sleep and see what happens. What happens if you don't sleep? Huh? Yeah, what else happens? You go crazy. Huh? Can't think straight. So, Lord Chaitanya says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, you know, wake up sleeping souls. So this is the waking up process is get up early, take a bath, put on clean clothes, tilak, and go and chant Hare Krishna, basically. And even sometimes when we're chanting Hare Krishna, you know, it's like, Hare Krishna, you know, it's like a dry, mechanical, right? Huge effort. We think, what is, you know, what's the point of this? Suffering. When I chant Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya says it's Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. It's supposed to be blissful. But when I chant Hare Krishna, it's like torture. What's wrong? Right? This is a trick. We're like the jaundiced person who has the inability to taste sweetness. The chanting of Hare Krishna is sweet. But when we chant, because we have this disease of ignorance that's affecting our tongue, then when we chant, it's painful. But if we keep on chanting, that relish for the natural, that taste for the natural sweetness of chanting Hare Krishna will manifest. So we should be prepared. We should know. Maya is going to tell us, you're not making any progress. This process doesn't work. The devotees are just tricking and cheating you. You should leave the association. You know, just don't bother. It's not worth it. Even if it is possible, nobody can actually do it anyway. Right? It's you know, it's all right for people like Prabhupada. He was already a liberated soul. But for the rest of us, it's not possible. Huh? Your mind never tell you that? No? You're lucky. But if it hasn't already, it will. At some point. But that's just the ignorance. We keep chanting, then it goes away. Anything else?
Yeah. What if we can't chant because you don't feel like it?
Keep chanting. That's just called laziness. Or if you're tired, have a sleep. Huh? Sleep is important. We need to sleep. If you're tired, sleep. Then when you've had enough rest, get up and chant. What? Easy. All right, we should finish here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.